Okay, let's see. How old were you when the war started in 1939? You were born in 15.
I went in February of 41.
Okay, do you remember when the war started though in 39?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and do you remember how you heard about it or?
Well, I was a truck driver, so I heard it all up and down the road.
Okay, and you were driving trucks here in western
mm-hmm.
Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
Hauling?
Everything.
Okay.
Worked in the oil field, worked in construction, hauled meat.
Okay, all right.
It was General Stinson Transportation out of Kinsley.
Oh, okay.
It was Andy Kinsfather's father-in-law.
Okay. Do you remember what you thought when you heard about the war starting in 39?
Nothing? I knew it was going to come. We could tell it was coming.
Mm-hmm. And were most people, were people talking about the war?
Not much, though. Didn't wasn't much talk about it.
Okay, until 1941?
Well, there wasn't much going on then.
Right. Okay, and you said that you joined up?
I didn't join, I was drafted.
Okay, in February of 41.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever think of enlisting?
No.
No.
But I never did. I didn't mind going, that wasn't it. I just, the Army didn't pay nothing
mm-hmm.
when you, in 39.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a crew going all over the country trying to get people to recruit them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd given you big money, $21 a month, I think.
You were making more driving that truck.
Yeah, when I got drafted, I got paid, three pieces of money. I got a 10, a 5, a 2, and 50 cents.
Okay.
$17.50.
That was your bonus for...
That was the whole pay.
Oh, for a month?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that wasn't very much.
No, that paid us in cash.
Uh-huh.
You got a 10, a private got 10, a 5, a 2, and 50 cents.
Okay. Now, when you were drafted, where did you go for your physical?
Well, most of the people won't believe it. I did it at Wichita.
Oh, you did? Okay.
In Henry Leavitt Arena.
Really? Okay.
And I hate to guess how many hundred it was at the time.
Did you ride the train down there?
I don't remember this. No, I think I drove down there, but no, I must have rode a train down there because I didn't leave anything there.
Okay. Were there other young men? Were you in Kinsley or Cimarron at the time?
I was Kinsley.
Okay. Were there other young men from Kinsley that...
Yeah, about four or five more.
Okay.
Can't remember just who they were, but...
Mm-hmm. And you passed your physical.
Well, anybody could have passed that.
What did they do?
Just observed you. They didn't have any medical stuff there at all, only a stethoscope.
Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest piece of equipment they had.
Okay.
And down, if there's a part of this in there, I think my original deal is in here for...
Oh, for passing the physical.
And it said, I got the original, and it says, appeared all right. And if you heard him say anything, then the hearing was all right.
Okay.
So
were you then inducted into...
We inducted right there, and the guy got up on the stand, and had about probably 500 or 600 swear in, and he had no idea whether they said I do or hold your hand.
And you were inducted into the Army?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what happened?
I got sent to Little Rock, Arkansas, to camp. Can't even think of the name of the camp now. But
okay.
And I was put with a National Guard outfit out of Houghton, Kansas.
Okay.
There's about, I imagine, 25 or 30 of us went to them. National Guard units were short-handed when they picked them up, mobilized them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we had about 25 or 30 go into that one.
Okay, and that was for your basic training?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was basic training.
Could you describe your basic training?
Yes, wasn't nothing much to it. Just if a person, an ordinary farm boy like me, didn't have any trouble with it.
Because you were all used to physical work.
Mm-hmm.
How long was that?
13 weeks.
13 weeks. Mm-hmm. Was it difficult to go into the Army and learn to obey and follow orders?
No.
No?
I did that all my life.
Okay. And what about living in a barracks with other...
That didn't bother me because I did that too. But the thing about it, see, I was older than the average that was drafted in there at that time.
Do you know why you weren't drafted earlier?
I was drafted early. I just was older.
Okay.
See, I was 25 years old when I went in the Army, 24 or 5.
Okay.
And most of the kids were 19, 20, 21, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Did that make a difference?
Made it awful easy for me and that, because see, I was already past being homesick about anything. Or I was out on my own anyway when I was real young. So I never, wasn't no trouble at all for me to go into the Army.
Was that the first time that you'd really been away from Kansas?
Oh, no. I worked, we hauled clear into Los Angeles and everything else when I was a kid.
Okay, so you were a man of the world already.
See, we hauled, most people won't believe it, but I hauled beer when I was 15 years old.
Oh, my God.
Legal.
Okay.
Because somebody said, well, how'd you do it? You couldn't even get a driver's license. I said, of course you couldn't. They didn't even have them. When I was 15, they didn't have to have a driver's license.
You could just drive.
Yeah, if you could drive it, you could. I worked for Stinson. I ran around with the Stinson kids over there in Kinsley, and automatically I went to work for them with them. And hit one of his sons, same age as me, well, we'd hold, nothing uncommon for two of us at 16 years old holding beer out of St. Louis.
So what kind of a truck did you drive?
Well, a Chevrolet mostly.
Okay.
And our trailers wasn't many bigger than, wasn't as big as some farm trucks now.
And how many days you hauled from St. Louis to?
Well, whenever there was a load to, he was a general freight. And when he, you might be pulling beer today and cattle tomorrow and furniture the next day.
Okay. And the beer out of St. Louis was Busch?
Yeah, and then we hauled Pabst Blue Ribbon out of St. Joe.
Okay. And how did you, if you were hauling, we'll say the beer west, how did you find out then what you were going to pick up?
We usually deadheaded.
Oh, okay.
Just went one way with a load. When beer was legalized, just over 3-2, you know. And they went to, right soon in there somewhere, they went to throw away bottles and cans. That made us go one way empty. See, used to we'd take about, it'd take about three loads for us to get one load of empties.
Oh.
We haul empty something back sometimes. Well, there was a lot of, we haul from a lot of places. We haul from Golden, was Coors. One ain't even there down Trinidad. Used to have, I think that was Century Beer. They ain't even a brewery there anymore. We hauled everywhere.
Okay, all right. So you had a lot of experience being.
Well, I'd been out around, and I was out in California fooling around when I was 15, 16 years old.
Okay, all right.
So cool. That didn't bother me a bit to be at Little Rock.
Okay, because then you weren't homesick. Yeah.
And I was older to start with, see, than the kids that was there. And then I'd already been there.
Okay, so when you finished your basic training, then what area did you go into?
I was in infantry.
Okay, and did you want to be in the infantry? Or
no,
did
I didn't make it. You didn't have any choice anyway.
Okay, and then then you went into training for the infantry.
Well, everybody takes infantry training.
Oh, I see.
Everybody.
Okay, so when you were finished with that basic training, what did you do?
Well, by that time they declared war in Japan, so we were shipped to the West Coast to help guard the West Coast. We scattered our division from way up above San Francisco to Los Angeles.
Okay, and where were you when they bombed Pearl Harbor?
I was in Little Rock.
Okay, and do you remember hearing it?
Oh yeah, we started loading our equipment to go to California that next day.
Okay, because you knew you were going.
Yeah, they knew where we was going. Well, they didn't then, but that automatically made them know where we was going.
And did you travel by truck?
Train.
Train.
We had a lot of trucks, but we hauled them on the train.
Okay. And what kind of equipment would you have had to load?
In infantry, it's mainly just your clothes and your kitchens and your weapons. And most of the companies had at least two weapons carriers.
Okay.
But they were all, everything was loaded on the railroad. I don't remember how many trains it took, but it took quite a few trains to haul the 35th Division to Little Rock.
35th.
From Little Rock and everywhere around.
Okay, and as a member of that division, did you help with the loading, or did they have particular people that did that?
They were particular people. Sometime later on, I helped load, would be on a detail to load them. But at that point, well, I wasn't in any job for that.
Okay. All right, so you got to the West Coast and your division spread out.
Yeah, up and down the coast.
And what were your duties?
Just guarding the coastline.
Okay.
Just had men scattered all the way from along the ocean.
And you just sort of patrolled?
Yeah, in certain areas that we... We was at Mora Bay and in there where we was at the first.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to Los Angeles.
And what were you looking for?
Nothing. Japanese.
A ship?
No, just people. They thought Japan might be going to invade the West Coast.
Okay.
They really ship people in, and we had, it was so scattered out,
mm-hmm.
people that... We was in the Navy and the Army and Marines and everything was just scattered in each other because nobody had enough people to put them in a place like that.
Okay.
They had to wait till they get them drafted.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you have a certain shift that you...
Oh, yeah. It's company. the division goes down to regiments and then companies.
Mm-hmm.
I was in E Company, 137th Infantry.
Okay.
But they just... The division... Is all of that. It has artillery and all that in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they operate out of the division headquarters.
Okay.
But they send the artillery certain places and trucks certain places. See, they even have transportation in each one of them.
Okay. So when you weren't on shift patrolling and you had free time, what did you do?
Just go to town.
Okay, and what did you do when you went to town?
Drink a little and run around.
And this would have been the closest town to you that you would have gone to?
We either that or the closest big town we could get there.
Mm-hmm. By bus or train or?
Well, they run the regular buses, you know, but you couldn't hardly get on them because it was always so full.
Mm-hmm.
A soldier had easier getting on than a civilian, but then it still wasn't very easy.
Right. As you look back, was it an exciting time or?
No.
I
didn't think so.
It was just a job that you had to do?
It just kind of like I'd always did.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a different opinion of Army and a lot of them have.
Mm-hmm.
I say that the Army just cultivates what you already are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're pretty good when you went in there, you'll be pretty good when you come out.
Okay.
A lot of people say the Army really, I don't believe that.
Okay.
I believe that it's... You just kind of cultivate what you already were.
Mm-hmm. Now, you met, of course, young men from all over the United.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And made friends.
Yes.
Is there a particular friend that you remember? Or?
Oh, yeah, I was in with a bunch of Indians from Houghton, Kansas.
Oh, okay.
But I got separated from them in Alabama, so I never, from then on, I never made many friends. I mean, other than... For lasting friends,
mm-hmm.
because I knew we weren't going to be together very long,
mm-hmm.
and I knew I wasn't going to go see that many people.
Right.
So I just told them at the time, they know you should take my name because I ain't coming to see anybody anymore.
Okay. How long were you then stationed on the West Coast?
I don't remember this exactly when we, a couple of years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see, 41. In 42, because in 43 I was in the Mediterranean.
Okay.
And
so at some point...
Probably a year and a half, probably.
Okay. And then you received...
It was transferred our whole division to Dothan, Alabama.
Okay.
For other training.
Mm-hmm. And what other training was?
I mean, for infantry training, but...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I shipped out of that division at Dothan, Alabama. And then I went to numerous camps, you know, to get to the docks.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from Hampton Roads to Oran, North Africa.
Okay.
And we was just a bunch of non-coms,
mm-hmm.
being shipped to Burma to be replacement for Merle's Marauders.
And oh.
We was all sergeants or above,
mm-hmm.
but no officers, just all.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we never got there. They sank the ship.
Okay, so... Let's go back. You were in the United States, received more training, and then you were shipped out, and you were on your way to the Pacific Theater.
Well, no, actually, Burma, China.
Okay. All right.
It was a CBS is what it was. CBI, China, Burma, and India.
Okay. And you docked somewhere in Africa, you said?
Oran, North Africa.
Okay.
Then they built up a convoy. Mm-hmm. Some of them come from England, and I don't remember just for all, but we was at Oran, North Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And we trained there, and the fight was still going on there. But this was a convoy, was going to be the first one to go to India. Mm-hmm. By way of the Suez. Since they've been before, but that first troop bunch being transported.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get there.
Okay, so they sank your ship?
Mm-hmm.
The Germans, or?
Yeah, but they sank it with a guided missile.
Oh.
People think guided missiles were back near up in the 70s, you mm-hmm. know. We got sunk with a guided missile in the day after Thanksgiving in 1943.
And were you in the Mediterranean?
Mm-hmm. Headed for the Suez to go to India.
So what were you doing when the missile hit the ship?
Well, I got a point off of it.
I know, but do you...
I was on guard duty with a gun crew.
Okay. And...
See, the ship didn't stay afloat but about 30 minutes.
Oh my.
Just imagine a 600 foot or more, over 600 foot long ship and sink in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Had you had training on what to do?
No, we never had nothing.
So what'd you do?
Well, I went over the stern of it. There was about probably 30 back there with us in that gun crew.
Mm-hmm.
We just threw the line down over the back and went down to water.
And then?
Swam away from it.
Okay.
And then I went in just about dark and got out after sunup. Got picked up with a seagoing tugboat.
So you were in the Mediterranean all night?
Oh, yeah.
Just sort of paddling around?
Yeah. And we lost most of our men with the fact that the water was cold and they wouldn't swim or wouldn't try to. There was a Czechoslovakian sailor on there in the crew I was in. And he told me, I credited him for making it. He said, Lacey, if you want to see that sun come up in the morning, you better still be swimming. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to swim to stay up because they had these life rafts things that just wrap around you like an inner tube.
Okay.
But you had to swim to stay alive because you'll die from exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what most of them had died in the water, died from exposure.
So they just
quit.
Yeah.
Didn't think nobody. The other ships just took on off. You know, they don't nothing stop.
Mm-hmm. The other convoy?
This convoy.
Oh.
Well, they never slow down.
Why not?
Well, because they're setting ducks in. It was a big air attack on us.
Okay.
That's how we got sunk.
Okay.
And our ship was what they called the coffin corner. It was the back and on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the slowest ship in the convoy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the rest of them took off, that left us just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really how we got hit. There wasn't much. The planes were... protecting the convoy, not just one ship sitting there.
Okay. And the guided missile came from what? A German?
German bomber.
Okay.
They hold them to the location and cut them loose and guided them in like these guys play with these airplanes, you know, little toy planes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they guided it.
Well, it must have been a large missile to sink a ship.
Oh, boy. It was about the size of the fighter plane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then... You take a ship or that type of a bomb and see it hit the engine room. Well, the engine room was the steam engines, you know, steam.
Mm-hmm.
And when it hit that, it blowed up the boilers, and the boilers is actually what tore the ship up.
So how many men were on the ship?
About 3,000.
And how many survived?
We had 900 and some. And we had 1,011 that got killed.
Okay.
900 and some picked up.
Right. What did you think when you were in that water all night?
Not a whole lot. There was nothing to do.
Did you think that some other ship would come and pick
you
up?
We knew that there was a minesweeper that was picking them. We didn't know that, but we knew there was one ship there. And then another or two showed up they come out from the sea. You could see it. Land,
mm-hmm.
but quite a ways. But some ships come out from harbor,
mm-hmm.
And then the one I got picked up with was a tugboat, seagoing tugboat,
mm-hmm.
and it was in Bougie, North Africa, helping clear the ships out of the It sank in the harbor there.
Oh.
And when the fighting started, when this planes attacked that convoy, it came out to, in case the ship got hit where it wouldn't move. Mm-hmm. It was still floating. They were going to tow it.
Okay.
That's what they went out for.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't nothing there to tow by the time they got out.
Yeah.
There.
So it's, you said it took about 30 minutes mm-hmm. for it to sink. Did you see it go down?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't very far from it.
How far were you?
Cause I'd say a couple of hundred yards.
Okay.
But it wasn't any danger of sucking you anywhere because it was an old model ship and it didn't have any watertight compartments. It just filled up with water like a tub.
Oh, okay.
And the front of it just reared up like that and it just went back down in the water.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that you had a sort of a life preserver.
Yeah, that's kind of, that they furnished them, the Army furnished them. It's not very good.
Mm-hmm.
If you just put it around you and it stayed folded up in, you know, like pleats.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had a pair of hand levers in it.
Oh.
And you pull that and two CO2 bombs in it would inflate it. It wasn't in heaven here in it till you pulled those levers. Mm-hmm.
Did you wear that at all times on?
Never wore, well, not all time, but we'd have it close.
Okay, so you knew when that missile hit to grab one of them.
I had put it on after the missile hit, after we got hit.
Okay, okay. Okay, when the tug picked you up, where did you go?
It went back into Bougie where it was stationed, and we put us in a British, the ones it picked up in a British hospital in Bougie.
Were you injured at all?
Oh, just where shrapnel had hit your legs and face and mm-hmm. arms. But mainly, I was with the British probably a month.
Okay.
That screwed me up the rest of my life, you know. And they can get me to North Africa, and they can pick me up in Bombay, India, but they can't go get that verification I was in the hospital in Bougie, North Africa.
Oh, I see.
They've tried it. Senator's name, Moran or Moran? Mm-hmm. Their outfit's tried it a couple of times, and it gets to North Africa and picks me up again in Bombay.
Oh, but okay.
I'm a month missing.
Really?
Yeah.
When you were in the hospital?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was a British hospital, and war was going on full blast there.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the paperwork got lost or...
Or didn't have time to do it or something.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I've had that trouble. In fact, over in India, they told me that if I ever put on my papers anymore that I was on a ship with sunk. See, my service record started in Bombay, India.
Oh.
See, because our ship went down with all the records.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our company, we wasn't a company of men, you know. We were just a replacement bunch.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have any high-ranking officers or anything. So when it sank, there we was just excess baggage. These other companies just formed on land, and,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they'd lost half of their men, but they could still just operate as a company.
Right, because they had an office.
Yeah, everything was already built up for them. Mm-hmm. So they didn't probably lose a day and a half, two days.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, they never started my records again until I got in Bombay.
So how did you go to Bombay then?
On another British ship.
Okay.
And
with other men that...
Well, most of them had other outfits. It wasn't on that ship that sank.
Okay.
But it was another old British ship.
Mm-hmm. That went through the Suez.
To Bombay.
Okay. All right. And then when you got to Bombay...
Well, they restarted me a service record.
Mm-hmm.
And then they shipped me to the American Army in Calcutta.
Okay.
See, I got there a while and they... decided that I didn't want any outfit that was there if I could keep out of them. I didn't like them. I should have took them. One of them was in the postal department.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would have been a good one to come out on.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want it. So finally they shipped me to Karachi, India,
mm-hmm.
and worked there. Well, there was a truck company in there from a quartermaster truck company from Arizona in there. So I was on loan to them.
Okay.
And they finally just transferred it over to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent the rest of India time in the 145th Quartermaster Truck Company.
And were you there because of the experience before the war driving trucks?
Yeah, that's only... I never went to an Army school.
Okay.
I made sergeant right off.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't very many things I couldn't run, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an advantage over a lot of them.
So as in that quartermaster group, what did you do?
Well, I was a truck driver in there for them.
And
for a company.
Okay.
The 140. I drove a weapons carrier that went around and picked up groceries and everything.
And where did you go? To other...
Just in Karachi and the warehouses around there.
And then you would take them back to base?
Well, we lived in town, in Karachi.
Okay.
Right on the docks. See, we unloaded ships.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we really did, our job was, haul stuff away from ships.
Okay, so the ships would bring the supplies over.
Over to
and then you would take the supplies.
And reload them onto trains and send them across India.
Okay, to our armies, mm-hmm. our soldiers.
The Japanese controlled the water around Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't ship in there. So they had Karachi's up on the northwest corner of mm-hmm. India. So you had to, it's not India anymore, it's Pakistan, but it was India then. And we loaded on trains and they took it to Burma by train.
Okay, and this would be food, you said, weapons?
Everything that the army runs on.
Okay, and so you did that for?
Oh, the rest of the time I was over there, I left. I don't remember just when I left. I must have left in there sometime in 45.
Mm-hmm. Before the war was over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I was still there when the war was over in Germany.
Okay.
Right. See, and I one time I got a discharge out of the army, mailed it to me. I was up in Burma,
mm-hmm.
mailed it to me, and mustering out pay and everything else for Bombay.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back down to, rode a train back down to Calcutta. I said, now I might look like an Indian, but I don't belong over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my service record started, so they just discharged me in Bombay.
Oh, I see.
So it took another month to decide I belonged in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you said you were up in Burma.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had got trucks running into Burma.
Okay. So sometimes you would go up there.
I've been up there quite a lot of times.
Okay. Now, when you said you lived on the docks.
Well, we just had a big motor pool there and tents.
So you lived in tents.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a people who cooked for you?
Oh, it was just a regular company. A company has its just like a big family
mm-hmm.
of its cooks and the ones that have to take care of KP, they've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. The privates have to do all the work. That's their job for the day. They get them on KP for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Kitchen police is what it means.
Okay.
So it's each company's kind of like an expanded family.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything it takes to survive it on its own.
Right. And were the tents large tents?
Seven-man tents.
Seven-man tents.
Mm-hmm.
And then did you... Were you able to soak up some of the culture there?
Oh, well, I was because, see, India was never at war.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a motor sergeant in the motor pool. And we had to get permission from the Indian government where we were going to run our trucks.
Oh.
See, because they wasn't at war.
Mm-hmm.
So we had an awful lot of trouble getting paperwork done. And
mm-hmm. So you had to deal with the Indian mm-hmm. officials.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any danger as you were taking the truck places?
Oh, really not. There is some. It's kind of like it is over there now. They didn't use landmines because it wasn't at war, you know. But they're same religion
mm-hmm.
as and still are. Karachi, you know, is the Mohammedan part of what used to be India.
Mm-hmm.
They just put a line through there. And when I was there, they were kind of mixed, but the western part of India was Mohammedan and the eastern was Hindus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then somewhere I think in the 46 right. or 7, somewhere in there, they divided that country up and made Pakistan. Karachi is in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
New Delhi was ahead of the other India. And the Hindus predominate in New Delhi and the Muslims predominate in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I hate to say it, but I don't think there's a way we can get out of India, I mean out of Iraq, really good.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you start fighting women, children, or when you start fighting a religion, mm-hmm. whether it's right or wrong, you still have an awful time fighting them.
Yeah.
And that's what we're into right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell who you're going to, and they all look alike, see? Another thing, you
right. Yeah.
The ones that are enemies look just like the other, or the good ones.
Mm-hmm. So were you able to, did you eat Indian food? Did you know?
No, we had our own.
You had your own.